This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Today, the federal law that defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman faced its highest court challenge to date. The First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston heard the case against the Defense of Marriage Act, also known as DOMA.
Since Massachusetts first allowed gay couples to marry in 2004, several other states have also legalized same-sex marriage. But because of DOMA, those marriages are not recognized by the federal government.
In the court challenge, 17 gay men and women from Massachusetts say that DOMA is unconstitutional because it denies them federal benefits available to heterosexual couples. WBUR's Fred Tice was at the hearing this morning, and Fred joins us now. Good to have you, Fred.
Thanks, Anthony.
So remind us about the origins of this particular case.
These Massachusetts couples, as well as several widowers, are trying to strike down DOMA because they've been deprived of federal benefits. They can't file taxes jointly. One couple has a husband who is a retired federal employee, and he can't get his husband on the federal employee's health care plan. One couple, there's a wife who's a state trooper. She can't get state troopers, if they die in the line of duty, they get federal benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't get, her widow would not be able to get those benefits. And then I spoke to Betty Jo Green, who's from Jamaica Plain. She was there with her wife, Joanne Whitehead.
We applied to Social Security, hoping to get additional benefits for Joanne through Social Security. And they denied us, and so we realized that every other married couple in Massachusetts gets those benefits. And we would like to get them as well.
And then Attorney General Martha Coakley filed her own lawsuit, and then these two lawsuits were joined. Coakley argues that the state of Massachusetts is forced to discriminate against its own citizens. And she's also arguing that under the Constitution, it's the states, not Congress, that have the right to define marriage.
Okay, so the case was last in court 2 years ago when District Court Judge Joseph Taro ruled DOMA unconstitutional. The case was appealed to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, where you were this morning. Tell us how the hearing went.
Paul Clement, the attorney hired by Speaker John Boehner to defend DOMA, because President Obama no longer wants to defend it, argued that Congress is merely setting up rules for people who want to claim federal benefits, that it's not picking against same-sex couples. It's just trying to define who gets those federal benefits. Now, arguing the case for Massachusetts, Assistant Attorney General Maura Healey said DOMA takes away what we have in Massachusetts. What we want to have here is just a single definition of marriage for all purposes. And she says that's a burden that Congress is not imposing on states that don't have gay marriage. Here's Attorney General Martha Coakley talking to reporters after the hearing.
All this statute does is discriminate, frankly, against same-sex couples and their children and everybody else in Massachusetts who have already decided that this should be the law here. And the federal government in this instance, in this rare instance, has no business creating two sets of citizens here.
So, Fred, you mentioned the Obama administration has decided not to defend this law. Instead, it's being defended by the House of Representatives. But I understand Justice Department lawyers were there this morning nevertheless. Why?
Yeah,
why?
That's right, Anthony. And they were there essentially arguing that Congress's intent when it passed this law was to discriminate against a particular group of people, same-sex couples. And and it has to have a very high bar if it's going to discriminate deliberately against a particular group of people for the law to pass muster. And so basically it was saying that the law doesn't pass muster. Stuart DeLeary, of the Justice Department, argued that it's called the Defense of Marriage Act. So Congress was obviously trying to defend marriage against a particular group of people, same-sex couples. And he also said that there is a tradition of Congress borrowing from state law when defining marriage. And in this case, it's the one time when it's not deferring to the states.
So, Fred, a three-judge panel decides. This could end up, though, going all the way to the Supreme Court, right?
That's right. Once the three-judge panel decides, then either side can appeal to a full panel of the First Circuit or go appeal to the Supreme Court.
Many thanks. That's WBUR's Fred Tice talking about today's constitutional challenge to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act in Boston.
Well, joining us now for more on that challenge is Mary Bonato. She's Civil Rights Project Director for the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, or GLAAD. Mary Bonato argued against DOMA in the case in the First Circuit this morning. Mary Bonato, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
Also with us on the phone from Utah is Bill Duncan. He's director of the Marriage Law Foundation. Mr. Duncan filed an amicus brief supporting DOMA. Mr. Duncan, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Mary Bonato, I understand that there are a couple bases by which challengers to DOMA are saying that this law is unconstitutional. What exactly did you in particular argue in the First Circuit this morning?
I represent, on behalf of GLAD and some other attorneys, the 17 individual plaintiffs, all of whom were qualified for particular programs as married people, you know, met the other criteria, you know, they lost their spouses, you know, one case after 60 years, but were not able to have that same safety net, for example, of Social Security than that other people have. And the only reason that they were denied these protections was because of DOMA. So we brought a very simple claim, which is, you know, here in Massachusetts, you're married or you're not. Mm-hmm. But what happens with this federal law is that it comes in and divides up Massachusetts married couples into two sets, you know, where different sex couples obviously are recognized under federal law, but same-sex couples are not, and that's a real comment on their marriage, and then also more practically denies them access to 1,138 not only protections but also obligations that come along with marriage at the federal level.
I'm sorry, Mary, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just to be clear, because if I understand correctly, there are basically two arguments by which those who find or who believe DOMA is unconstitutional are saying that. And one is the argument that the state of Massachusetts is making regarding its right to legislate how it deems fit what is and isn't marriage. And then there's the argument that you're making that individuals themselves are being discriminated at by the federal government. Is that right?
Yeah. The promise of equal protection in our Constitution is likes are supposed to be treated alike. So here we have all of these people who are married, but one class of married people is being denied every protection under federal law. And part of what's significant here is a background of over 200 years of experience where the federal government, of course, has been dealing with the fact that it doesn't license marriages. States do. And states have had a lot of different rules over the years. They've had a lot of fights about a lot of things, interracial marriage, common law marriage, and so on. And they've, nonetheless, the federal government has always said, state, if you say somebody's married, they're married for our purposes when it comes to federal protections and obligations and so on.
Bill Duncan, I want to get to you in just a moment, but Mary Bonato, another quick question on this point. If I understand correctly, Paul Clement this morning, or at least at the very least in briefs filed before the hearing this morning, basically said that federal law defines marriage only for purposes of federal benefits and burdens, and therefore, as you heard our reporter Fred Tice relate a little earlier, Congress did not penalize same-sex couples. It simply decided not to offer them special inducement for marriage.
Yeah, that's a really contorted argument because but for this law, same-sex couples who began marrying here 8 years ago would have been included in those protections as married people. And what DOMA did was create an exclusion to make sure that only same-sex couples would have not have any access to these same protections other people have.
Bill Duncan, let me bring you in here. What's your reaction to what you've heard so far and the arguments that you understand took place this morning in the First Circuit?
Well, I first want to apologize. I was only able to listen to part of the arguments. The computer cut out a lot of those, I guess, when they recorded. But, you know, my reaction, I think, is pretty simple, and that is that whatever the policy arguments for extending benefits to same-sex couples, those aren't the same as constitutional mandates, right, which is the question the court's being asked to deal with today. And the court, I think, has to look not at what public policy ought to be, but on what the Constitution requires. And I think then, under that standard, Mr. Clement has the stronger argument. I think it is pretty clear that the states can't dictate to the federal government what the law of marriage should be in when that term is defined in federal law for federal law purposes. Although, of course, the state can do that. You know, for its own legal purposes. And I think the other thing that's worth remembering is that the Defense of Marriage Act was enacted in 1996, which is before the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court decided in 2003 to redefine marriage. And so Congress is, I don't think we can claim that Congress is trying to create classes of citizens when at the time there really was only one legal definition of marriage.
But Bill Duncan, on that point, when you said that states can't dictate to the federal government what marriage is or isn't, my understanding is that also historically the federal government couldn't dictate to states what marriage is or is not. And DOMA is actually one of those laws that refutes that tradition.
Well, I actually agree with that point. I guess I would say it this way. Congress only has the power to do what the Constitution gives it power to do. That's why we have, you know, the enumerated powers concept in our Constitution. And so Congress can't tell a state, here's what your definition of marriage is going to be. It can only make a, you know, make its own legal definition on a matter that involves something specifically it's been given power to do. Now, that means, therefore, that the federal government can't tell Massachusetts, here's how you define marriage, but it can say that when we use the term, we, the federal government, use the term marriage, it means the following thing. And it's done that before in a number of areas. The obvious one would be immigration, where the federal government defines marriage in a way that's different than some states define marriage. And we think, okay, well, immigration is clearly an issue where the national government has authority to, make rules, and so they can do that. And the definition of terms in federal law would be another one, which I think would be obvious.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking about the Defense of Marriage Act and arguments for and against it as were heard this morning in the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston. I'm joined by Mary Bonato. She's the Civil Rights Project Director for the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, and also by William Duncan. He's Director of the Marriage Law Foundation. Listeners, what do you think? I mean, do you think that marriage should be defined by states or by the federal government, as we've just been tussling with now? And whether or not you believe the DOMA is constitutional or not, do you think that the courts is the place where the decision should be made? Or is this a matter better suited for Congress, the representative branch of our system of government? Is the best way to move DOMA forward, if that's what you think should be done, through the House of Representatives and the Senate? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-8255. Talk. Mary Bonato, let me ask you this question that's sort of been I've been tussling with in my head all day. And that is basically what one of the things that Paul Clement also has argued in pretrial briefs, where he has said that Congress has ample power to define the terms of federal statutes used regarding benefits and burdens, and that anything, any other rule than that, basically turns the constitutional structure upside down.
Yeah, there's a very simple answer to that. For the equal protection argument, all we're saying is if you are going to define a term, you have to define it consistent with the promise of equal protection and treating likes alike. And what is it about saying that married people, gay married people, or unmarried comports with that principle of treating likes alike? So I think what happens with the briefing is that there are these straw men set up, and that's a great example that's easy to knock down. Of course, the states can't dictate to the federal government, and that's not what we're claiming. If the Congress passed a definition of person that said a person was only a Caucasian or only a female, we would think that was an equal protection problem, and that's the same thing we're saying about marriage. They want to say, well, you can leave out gay people. They didn't have marriage before. You know, if you said, well, sorry, redheaded, blue-eyed people aren't going to get federal recognition either, we would recognize that there was a problem with the fairness principle, and that's what we're pursuing. So I actually agree with Mr. Duncan that it is the Constitution that controls, and there were no policy arguments made today whatsoever.
Mm. Bill Duncan, your response to that?
Well, I think, speaking of straw men, the idea that Congress is going to say that only white people are citizens, I think, is so exceedingly unlikely that has to be.
But you understand the point.
I guess my reaction to that is that there's nothing in the Constitution that requires the federal government to give any marriage benefits at all. And so when it chooses to do so, it can do so on a basis that makes sense to it. And we may not like what Congress does, but our responsibility in such a situation is to ask Congress to reconsider, as has been done. And so that process plays itself out. The idea that the Equal Protection Clause provides a charter for the courts to determine what social policy ought to be in our country, I think that's a dangerous road to go down. We've been down that road before as a nation and rejected it, and I think we should in this case as well.
Bill Duncan, let me ask you about that, because you said that Congress should be able to, or the federal government should be able to have the power to make laws on a basis that makes sense to it. But I think that's exactly one of the things that Judge Taro was getting to in his 2010 ruling when, you know, he, and I'm just going to read a quotation from that earlier ruling where he said, "This court cannot discern a means by which the federal government's denial of benefits to same-sex spouses might encourage homosexual people to marry members of the opposite sex," because the idea was that DOMA would be, again, a defense of heterosexual marriage. "And denying marriage-based benefits to same-sex spouses certainly bears no reasonable relation to any interest the government might have in making heterosexual marriages more secure." So basically, he's saying that the internal logic didn't even make sense.
Well, that's exactly right. You expressed it correctly, and that's why this is such an important argument, because if the judge is correct that marriage defined as a union of a husband and wife is completely irrational, then all states' marriage laws, of course, would be unconstitutional, too. And this decision, if it's upheld, is going to lead to litigation over every state's marriage law. But I think the key thing to realize is that that's just not correct. I mean, that, there's a kind of mind-reading kind of element to some of this. I can't determine that Congress had any intent. But, of course, that's not really the role of federal courts, is to figure out what Congress was thinking and what was good and what was not. And of course, this changes dramatically over time. At one point, the Department of Justice was saying Congress had good reasons for this law. Now it's changed its mind for political reasons and said, well, no, we agree with the trial court. This is irrational. That kind of analysis really has no place in our constitutional law.
Let me get a response from Mary Bonato here. Mary, what do you think about that?
Well, which part of it? There are, you know, four or five arguments that have just been tossed out, each of which is completely insubstantial. You know, the issue with respect of go to Congress on this, that's the answer to every constitutional violation. But we have three branches of government for a reason. And it's the job of the courts to say, when the equal protection guarantee has been denied, this is a case about equality. And what DOMA does is say that gay people and their marriages are unequal to everyone else. And the people who are plaintiffs needed to be harmed in order to have standing. So that's why it looks like this is about benefits. But this is a case about equality, and the courts have a role here. In terms of should people be married by the states or the federal government, Unless there's a constitutional amendment, let me be very clear. It is states that marry people, not the federal government. And I agree with Mr. Duncan about this, which is, of course, the federal government doesn't need to use marriage or any particular criteria. You know, it needs to use some criteria, but it doesn't need to use marriage for allocating benefits or burdens. You know, it uses head of household sometimes for tax or household for food stamps. But when it does use marriage, the concern here is that it is wiping out one class of marriages of minority group across the board in the United States Code. And that is what the problem is. With respect to Mr. Duncan's claim, I just need to say this because it's such an important point. With regard to Mr. Duncan's claim that a victory for the plaintiffs in this case would lead to challenges to state marriage laws, that is an incorrect understanding. The plaintiffs in this case are married people. They are identically married to everyone else in Massachusetts who is married. And the question is why the federal government is treating one class of already married people differently from others. This is not about the right to marry when it's a very different thing, because the states control eligibility to marriage, of course, unless they're violating some, you know, overarching constitutional command from the U.S. But states decide and they make their own decisions. So it's a very, so that's dealing with a situation of people who want entry to marriage, not people who are already married. So it's a very different situation.
Well, we've got several people who want to join this conversation. So let me bring our listeners in. Deborah is calling from Plymouth. You're on the air, Deborah.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And this Defense of Marriage Act, anybody who knows about it, it is absolutely clear to them that the full intent of this was to exclude gays from getting married. I'm a heterosexual woman. I don't even know any gay people. But it is just so painfully obvious to anybody who can have any amount of objectivity that this is the same argument as interracial marriages, as blacks being enslaved, as developmentally delayed people being illegally sterilized, all of these things that have fallen by the wayside in our culture as we've become more enlightened, and even the arguments for slavery, economic arguments in the South for slavery, are the same economic arguments, really, about federal benefits being extended to gays.
Deborah, let me jump in there because you've given us a lot to think about, and I'd like to give Bill Duncan a chance to respond. Thank you so much for your call, Deborah. Bill Duncan, you hear Deborah there saying that this is just part and parcel of a long history of the United States righting wrongs when it comes to the rights of individual Americans.
Sure, sure. And, of course, that's a common argument. I think it would be nice to believe that, you know, in every day we're getting more and more enlightened and we do everything right, unlike what we did in the past, but there's no real analogy here between our nation's very sad experience with racial discrimination against other groups, and the question of whether or not we have to redefine marriage as some mandate from the Constitution. There really are differences between same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples that Congress can take into consideration. Doesn't mean they have to treat one group in a way that's unreasonable or unkind, but to take those into consideration is hardly the same as saying that a group of people, solely because of their race, can be enslaved by others.
Let's take another call here. Ivan is calling from Braintree. You're on the air, Ivan.
Yeah, my question is, in regards to the political strategy, how can we progressives, how can we take it to Congress? Because long-term, the trends are in our favor. I'm a heterosexual, happily married person, but I do advocate for marriage, for equality in terms of before the federal government, so people that get married can bring their partners from abroad.
Ivan, thank you. I'm going to just jump in right there because otherwise I'm going to run out of time to get some thoughts from both of our guests. But you bring up a good point. And Mary Bonato, I want to turn that to you because Ivan was, I guess he's pointing to basically the past several years of polling data, which show that now slightly more than 50% of Americans approve of gay marriage. And so therefore, I know that earlier you said you sort of just you wrote off the idea of going to Congress and basically having the law either re-legislated or brand new law taking its place. But I wonder why write it off so quickly? Why isn't Congress the path to really getting a representative change in the Defense of Marriage Act?
Well, it's not an either-or situation. And frankly, if the Congress would step up and repeal this law that they created in 1996, that would be a terrific thing. And there is a bill pending called the Respect for Marriage Act in the House and the Senate to do that. And I support those efforts. What I was saying is, and I think it's a drastic overstatement to say the courts have no role here, because the courts ultimately do enforce the equality guarantees. You know, the idea of this case is that we all come to our government as equals, and the government is supposed to be neutral and not biased when people's rights are at stake. And in 1996, just to talk about the first caller, I'm looking at the official House report, which said the purpose of DOMA was to reflect and honor a collective moral judgment about human sexuality that entails moral disapproval of homosexuality, and went on to say that we're going to use DOMA to make sure we don't put a stamp of approval on gay people, and it's a way for us to express our disapprobation of homosexuals. So that violates the basic promise. I mean, that's the thing. This is not a neutral law. This is a law outside of our constitutional tradition, and it makes it invalid. And as to Mr. Duncan's comment about there are differences, just to be very explicit about that, what he's referring to is the argument that has been made in the briefs and all along, is that the different sex couples are able to accidentally procreate. He said this in court today. Sometimes they make a mistake. They accidentally procreate. That's not true of gay people. And that's the whole reason we have this whole structure of marriage benefit laws and so on. Nothing to do with love and commitment. It's all about accidental procreation.
Well, we're running fast. Mary Bonato, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're running fast out of time. I do want to just sneak in one last question to you, Bill Duncan. If indeed the First Circuit finds DOMA to be unconstitutional, do you think that, yes, the Supreme Court is the next stop for the issue of same-sex marriage in the United States?
I do think that. The question for the court will be if it's true that, as the trial court said, that marriage is irrational, an irrational construct, then of course, you know, every marriage law has also to be irrational. And so I think the court will want to address that and prevent the flood of litigation that would follow such a decision.
Bill Duncan is director of the Marriage Law Foundation. Mr. Duncan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Mary Bonato, Civil Rights Project Director for the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. Mary Bonato, thank you again for joining us on Radio Boston.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Listeners, continue this conversation online at radioboston.org. Up next, the story of one interracial couple's attempt to buy a home in 1960s Brookline. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.